My mother loves baseball. When my brothers and I played, she was a manager or scorekeeper or a concessions volunteer. Even after the time when my brothers and I had ceased to play baseball, to play lacrosse, she continued as an active member on the board, and you might essentially say that she ran the place. So my family and I spent a lot of time around D'Amato Field, helping out the little league, doing one thing or another. And one thing I will never forget is the moment when your heart catches in your throat and your eyes are fixated on the sky at the sound of the cry, "Heads up!" That cry meant one of two things. Either your person or your car was in danger because there was a foul ball in the air. That simple cry was meant to just simply warn you about a potential danger. There are a lot of sounds or things that today are simply meant to warn you about danger. If you walk into a restaurant and see a little yellow sign on the floor, you know that the floor's wet. The unmistakable sound of the fire alarm tells you to calmly exit the building. You know, I learned a new warning sound not too long ago. I guess it would have been a month or two. It's the sound that you can hear for miles when a tornado is coming. Back in San Diego, we don't have those, so I had to learn about those. But it's just simply meant to give you a warning. And those warnings are meant to promote a response. If you see the little yellow sign on the floor, you know to deviate from your course. Once again, with a fire alarm, just note, calmly exit the building. I'm still not quite sure what to do when you hear a tornado sound, but I know that that's the sound of one coming. This evening, we're going to talk about a person whose sole purpose was to give a warning. Turn your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 33. And it's in Ezekiel chapter 33 that we're going to learn about the watchman. The watchman in Ezekiel chapter 33 had the simple task of warning people about the coming judgment of the Lord. We too know that there is a coming judgment of the Lord. And so I want us to learn one simple lesson from the watchman. Sound the warning. Do not be silent, but sound the warning. To begin learning this lesson, we're just going to jump right into the text. And the first section, we just see in Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 1 through 6, the illustration, really, that God is using to talk about the function of His watchman. Read with me in Ezekiel chapter 33 and beginning in verse 1. "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Son of man, speak to the sons of your people and say to them, if I bring a sword on the land, and if the people of the land take one man from among them and make him their watchman, and he sees the sword coming upon the land and blows on the trumpet and warns the people, then he who hears the sound of the trumpet does not take into warning, and the sword comes and takes him away, his blood will be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning, his blood will be on himself. But had he taken the warning, he would have delivered his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes a person from them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but the blood I will require from the watchman's hand.'" It's a simple illustration about the coming army upon the city. Most cities were built such a way that they would have walls surrounding the city, and from the top of those walls, you could see from a far distance. And if an army was coming, we see in this passage just simply how there was a watchman. And he had a trumpet in hand, and the trumpet was that little yellow sign, or that heads-up call, or that tornado warning that I still don't know what to do about. He just had that trumpet. And what he was responsible for doing is when he saw an army coming, was to blow it. Now, one thing that this text tells us is that if he blew the trumpet and someone didn't respond, God says, it's whoever didn't respond. It's their fault. However, for the watchman, if he doesn't sound the warning, There's a matter of guilt involved there. Uh-oh, wrong way. Oh, I didn't add where you bring one point up at a time. But that's okay, you can see them all. The watchman's task, as we first see in verse 2, where it says, "Son of man, speak to the sons of your people and say to them, if I bring a sword upon the land, and the people from the land take one watchman from among them, or one man from among them, and make them their watchmen." Sorry, stumbling through that. What we need to know about that is he says, if I bring a sword upon the land. The watchman's task is defined by the judgment coming from the Lord. If there was a nation coming upon Israel, it was because God had sent him. But why would God do that? Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy is an awesome book where it's the second telling of the law which was received on Mount Sinai. And this whole book is set up like a suzerain vassal treaty from the ancient Near East. And we won't spend too much time talking about that. But one important part of that is the section of blessings and curses. We see in Deuteronomy how God repeats and just resounds the blessings which come if the people obeyed him. But then we get, begin reading with me in verse 15, where it says, "But it shall come about, if you do not obey the Lord your God, to observe all of his commands and his statutes, which I charge you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you." These curses came upon the people if the people did not obey the word of the Lord. Now, among these curses, begin reading with me in verse 20 and read all the way through 26. "The Lord will send upon you curses, confusion, and rebuke in all you undertake to do, until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly on account of the evil of your deeds, because you have forsaken me. The Lord will make pestilence cling to you until he has consumed you from the land where you are entering to possess it. The Lord will smite you with consumption and fever and inflammation and fiery heat, with the sword, with blight, with mildew. They will pursue you until you perish. The heaven which is over your head shall be bronze, and the earth which is under you iron. The Lord will make the rain of your land powder and dust. From heaven it shall come down until you are destroyed. The Lord shall cause you to be defeated by your enemies. You will go out one way against them, but you will flee seven ways before them. And you will be an example of terror to all the kingdoms of the earth. Your carcasses will be food to all the birds of the sky and to the beasts of the earth, and there will be no one to frighten them away." Twice in this section of curses, if the people do not obey, God mentions the use of an army. He says, "I will send sword among you." And he also says, I will cause you to be defeated by your enemies. Noting the context of Ezekiel, Ezekiel is in a time where that has already come to pass. The Israelites have been disobedient for a long time. And it's now the prophets who are then speaking the things of the Lord. Our responsibility is the same way. God has given us a message. And the message that he has given us is that I am coming. I have no tolerance for sin. And one day I will come to destroy this entire world. Not exactly a very happy thought, but the happy thought about that is that he's giving us the warning beforehand. And this watchman, This watchman had to speak the things of the Lord, and his responsibility came about because of the judgment of the Lord. That's where our responsibility comes today. We can talk about evangelism until we're blue in the face, but until we realize that it is a responsibility, we may not be convicted to act upon that. However, in the next 2 points, we're going to also see that this responsibility has weight. It's not just a flippant, inconsequential action. No, this action has consequences, both on those who hear and the ones who speak. In verses 2-5, we hear that this sounded warnings brings accountability upon those who hear. Read again with me in Ezekiel chapter 33 in verses 2-5. Son of man, speak to the sons of your people and say to them, if I bring a sword upon the land, and the people of the land take one man from among them and make him their watchman, and he sees the sword coming upon the land and blows the trumpet and warns the people, then he who hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, and the sword comes and takes him away, his blood will be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. His blood will be on himself. But had he taken the warning, he would have delivered his life. There's an amount of accountability when you understand and have heard the word of the Lord. And this illustration simply shows us in a minor way that if you heard the sound of the trumpet coming and you didn't take action, then the fault is your own. There are people today who have heard the word. There may be someone in this building who has heard the word, but has not felt compelled to respond. Let me tell you that knowledge promotes responsibility. If you heard the word of the Lord, if you understand the word of the Lord, and you perish in your sins, your responsibility is your own. Your guilt is your own. Just like those who heard the trumpet and did not act. But for many who are sitting in this building, who are called and are responsible to spread this word, is this next point. The unsounded warning brings accountability upon the watchman. Read with me again in verse 6. It says, but if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, then the people who are not warned, and the sword comes and takes one person away from them. He is taken away in his iniquity, but the blood I will require from the watchman's hand. It's the one who did not speak. It is the one who did not sound the warning. Nick asked me earlier today, what songs would you like led? What theme will you be speaking on? And when the services grew near afterwards, I almost just thought, I wish I could just ask him to lead this song. Thank you, Nick, for paying such attention. And thank you to all the song leaders who pay such attention to the lessons. But one of the songs was 598, the song that we sung, You Never Mentioned Him to Me. Read those words with me again. When in a better land, before the bar we stand, how deeply grieved our souls may be. If any lost soul, lost one there should cry in deep despair, you never mentioned him to me. Oh, let us spread the word wherever we go, wherever may be heard. Help groping souls the light to see, that yonder none may say, you never, or you saw me day by day, and you knew I was astray, yet never mentioned him to me. You never mentioned him to me. You helped me not the light to see. You met me day by day and knew I was astray, yet never mentioned him to me. This song portrays it as simply a sad occurrence. If on that day we hear the sad, sad words, you never, ever told me about Jesus. You never shared that message with me. You never warned me. But that which we learn from the watchman brings it more than just a sad occurrence. It's your fault at that point. And isn't that a difficult thing just to imagine? If you never spread that word, then you're just as guilty. It says that for the one who listens to the watchman and doesn't respond, he will die in his iniquity, but the blood I will require from the watchman's hand. You are the watchman. You have heard the warning of the Lord. I pray we never hear those sad, sad words on that day. You never mentioned him to me. Let that fault never fall upon those who have heard. At this point, we know, and I think anyone in this room would concede, we should be telling people about Jesus. We should be telling people about the wonderful salvation that comes, the lives that can be spared. Not only should, we must. We must never let our hands grow idle in the work of the Lord. Now, in this section, it's God is simply almost still talking about the illustration, but in the next section, in verses 7 through 9, God brings this illustration to Ezekiel. Read with me in verses 7 through 9. Now as for you, son of man, I have appointed you a watchman for the house of Israel. So you will hear a message from my mouth and give them a warning from me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not speak and warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require from your hand. If you, on your part, warn the wicked man to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he will die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your life. A couple things I want to note from this. Is in this passage we understand that God has appointed the watchman. And it is to God that the watchman is responsible. He says, I have appointed you a watchman over Israel. And how he did that is because Ezekiel heard the word. Says, you will hear a word from my mouth. And you need to tell that to the people. I have appointed you a watchman. This is where he starts to bring this concept of the watchman into application. It wasn't just meant to be a nice story or even a nice illustration. It was meant to effect change in Ezekiel, who heard the word. But it is to God that he is responsible. And it is God that will eventually give the judgment, ultimately, for those who have heard, and Ezekiel himself. We need to understand that we are accountable to God too. If God has given us a message, it is to Him that we are accountable, not to anyone else. We were not ever meant to be pleasers of men. But God, who gave the word, who is responsible for us, it is to Him that we must give our answer. And I just simply wanted to note that. But as the watchman speaks, as Ezekiel speaks, he must speak the things of the Lord. He must speak the things that God tells him. What has God told us? Quickly, summarize all the things in your mind that God has spoken to us about Jesus. Quickly, summarize in your mind all the things that God has shared with us about His character. All the things about His love. All the things about sin and how much He detests it. All the things that we know will happen yet to come when all of the elements are burned. All the things that you have heard. These are the things we must speak. What was spoken to Ezekiel is that an army was coming. What was spoken to us is that there is a day coming. Please don't be silent. But in understanding also the severity of the situation, it's a life or death situation. There is consequence to this. Our life was not ever lived in a vacuum. Our actions are not independent. But for every action, there is a consequence, both good and bad. That's what my dad always used to tell me when I was a kid. I didn't quite understand that, because I thought consequences were just the bad things that were coming if you did what was wrong. But there's also good consequences to the things done well. This is a death or life situation. Life. That beautiful heavenly reward. That beautiful place where God is. I wish we had more time, because I would talk to you about the visions at the end of Revelation. The city which emphasizes that God is present there, that His people are present there, life eternally, where they will never again die, where all of their tears will be wiped away. But these are the consequences that are yet to come, both for the good and bad. And don't we want everyone to receive those good consequences instead? This is a life or death situation. Now in this next section, in Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 10 through 16, it's a summary of what the watchman's warning is. And I just want to include four major points from this watchman's warning, because I think there are things that, one, must be on our tongues today, and also, because of that, are very applicable today too. Read with me in verses 10 through 16. Now as for you, son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus you have spoken, saying, surely our transgressions and our sins are upon us. We are rotting away in them. How can we survive? Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back. Turn back from your evil ways. Why then will you die, O house of Israel? And you, son of man, say to your fellow citizens, the righteousness of the righteous man will not deliver him in the day of his transgressions. And as for the wickedness of the wicked, he will not stumble because of it in that day, when he turns from his wickedness. Whereas the righteous man will not be able to live by his righteousness on that day when he commits sin. When I say to the righteous, he will surely live, and he trusts in his own righteousness, that he commits iniquity, none of his righteous deeds will be remembered. But in the same iniquity of his which he has committed, he will die. But when I say to the wicked, you will surely die, and he turns from his sin and practices justice and righteousness, if a wicked man restores a pledge, pays back what he has taken by robbery, walks by the statutes which ensure life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of his sins that he has committed will be remembered against him. He has practiced justice and righteousness. He shall surely live. I want to note four things from this passage that are very pertinent to the message of the gospel today. And the first of which we see in chapter 10 where it says, "Surely our transgressions and sins are upon us. We are rotting away in them. How can we survive?" It doesn't take but 10 minutes reading into the book of Romans to understand that the consequences of sin is death. Because of sin entering into the world, death came through sin. But these people understand that because of their iniquities, because of their transgressions, because of their sins, God's justice is coming. And he said, and they ask, "How can we survive?" People don't like to hear about death ever. Whether it be the death of a loved one, the death of a non-loved one, really doesn't matter. Death isn't a very happy subject, especially when we're talking about death eternally. However, if we are to complete and completely tell the message of the gospel, this is one thing that has to be on our lips. The wages of sin is death. If we are in our sins, how can we survive? There is no way to survive in them. However, God doesn't stop there. And our message should never stop there. We're going to go after this. And next, he says, "As I live, declares the Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked." What does that mean? But that God doesn't want anyone to die. He doesn't want anyone to be lost. It's 1 Timothy that tells us that the desires of the Lord is that all should come to the knowledge of the Lord in repentance. It's in 2 Peter chapter 3. Go ahead and turn there. Beginning in verse 14 says, "Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of the Lord as salvation." The time that we have here, the time that we've been given, is because the Lord doesn't want any to perish. He doesn't want one soul to be lost to hell, ever. And that was never His greatest desire. People have to know that too. Because if they're hearing the message that the consequences of sin is death, they think, "What kind of God do you serve that He wants to send everybody to hell?" That is not the God that we serve. The God that we serve says, "I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked." That should also be on our speech. But two more things. The righteousness of the righteous will not deliver him in the day of transgression. Many times I've heard the words, "But I'm a good person. God surely won't send me to hell. I'm a good person." The righteousness of the righteous will not deliver him in the day when he commits iniquity. That's how much God thinks about sin. That's how much God hates sin. And as much as God hates it, no amount of righteous deeds can save us. What I mean by that is that we can't earn our way to heaven. And no one can. But that's what's so wonderful about the message of Jesus. who takes our sin from us, who himself bore the consequences of our sins. We cannot simply rest on how good of a person we are. But very few in this room would think that, because we have the wonderful message of Jesus Christ. However, there is a great misconception in our world that God just wants good people. No. God wants those in Christ. But that which the watchman says is the righteousness of the righteousness. Righteous will not deliver him in the day of his transgression. However, he also says, when saying to the wicked, "You shall surely die," and he turns from his sins and practices justice and righteousness, he shall surely live. This is the message of repentance. If the wicked man in all of his wickedness, no matter how vile or evil he may be, if he turns from those, if he repents, he shall surely live. Once again, this is the wonderful message of Jesus Christ, who gives us the opportunity for our sins to be taken away from us. The wickedness, or the wicked man, can live. And I am personally thankful for that. No matter how many good things I may count that I've done in my life, which that list isn't as long as I would like it to be, I can also count the evil things that I have done, the things which transgress the law of the Lord, the very things for which God is sending judgment upon His people for. I can count those things too. But the wonderful message of God is that even the vilest of sinners, just as Paul claims to be, the chief of all sinners, can be saved and can live. These are all things that the watchman has said. And the reason that I tell them to you is because these are things that you need to say also. Please understand these things. And also, live by them. Because what God is trying to give is life. As we come to the end of the chapter, well, the end of what we're going to study from Ezekiel 33 today, our last section, in verses 17 through 20, is where it is out of the watchman's hands. Read with me, beginning in verse 17. "Yet your fellow citizens say, 'The way of the Lord is not right,' when it is their own way that is not right. When the righteous turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, then he shall die in it. But when the wicked turns from his wickedness and practices justice and righteousness, he will live by them. Yet you say, 'The way of the Lord is not right.' O house of Israel, I will judge each of you according to your ways." Where it is out of the watchman's hands is because his fellow citizens still say, "The way of the Lord is not right." Just like our illustration, which God used in the first 6 verses of this chapter. These are the ones who hear the sound of the trumpet and do nothing. They dismiss it and say, "No, judgment isn't coming. There can't be an army on the other side of that wall." They could be saying that for a number of reasons. In fact, in Jeremiah, it gives a couple reasons, because they say, "Don't we have the temple?" In all of their excuses, though, the truth was, there was another army on the side of that wall. But these were the people who didn't listen. If one denies the truth of the word of the Lord, it does not make the word of the Lord not true, no matter how much it's denied, no matter how much it's reasoned away. That's why he reiterates it in verses 18 and 19. He recaps all the things that he has just said, the message of the watchman, almost to restate, this is true. And it will not change. Comes Zechariah in the first couple verses. It notes this history where nations have fallen and risen. Israel has been judged and sent off into captivity and has now come back. All of these things have transpired because the word of the Lord is established, is set, is true. And that's not changing. We can have confidence in the word of the Lord as we profess it. That the things which are spoken from the Lord will come to pass. And as we hear them, we also understand that the things of the Lord will come to pass. Because the word of the Lord is true. It does not make any warning. It does not make the warning any less real. Because he says in verse 20, O house of Israel, I will judge each of you according to his ways. I wanted to tell you all this evening. Because I want you to understand, it is your responsibility. It is your requirement to not be silent, to speak the things of the Lord, to spread the word to those who haven't heard, and to continue to plead with those who won't listen. However, if in that time someone refuses to listen, I beg you, keep pleading. However, it doesn't make it any less true just because they wouldn't hear. And I want to encourage you of that too. We are a blessed people. We are a blessed people who are able to understand that God sent his son to die because the righteousness of the righteous would not be enough. Because he wanted the wicked to turn from their wickedness. And we are a blessed people to have heard that. I always heard it said, do not be a reservoir but a river. As God's blessings continue to flow and flow and flow into your life, do not be a reservoir and hold them in, but be a river as they continue to pass on to those around you. We learned a powerful message from the watchman, and it is one that I am convicted of daily because I understand that I cannot be silent. But maybe tonight you are convicted by the message of the watchman. And understand that we will surely die in our sins. But God doesn't want any of the wicked to perish. My own righteousness is not enough. But if I turn now from my wickedness and repent, there is life at the end. If at all we can help you in doing so this evening, now is the opportunity as we stand and we sing this song.